This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
I'm Randy here, here in Templeton, California, with Eric Alexia.
You're American-born?
Born in Utah, moved to Templeton when I was about 4 years old. Lived here until 2019, when I decided to move to Bulgaria and join my dad, who was there at the time, and picked up my citizenship about 5 months after being there. And so, yeah, now I'm a dual citizen.
Unintentionally back here, if it weren't for the whole pandemic.
Yeah. It was, unfortunately, Bulgaria has one of the oldest populations in Europe, yeah. So they took a lot of really like draconian measures to keep the pandemic at bay. So just until March 1st, 2021, they were completely locked down still. You know, you couldn't really do anything. So there was really no benefit to me being there, you know, in the middle of the city.
It's a whole different life over there.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. And there is such tight-knit communities. That's one of the things that I really like about it, which is funny considering, you know, communism was all about, you know, reporting your neighbors and telling on your neighbors. But now, you know, they do everything for each other. And it is another reason why it's so sad is these families, like, they're so family-oriented there and community-oriented that when something like this pandemic comes, they're just unable to like see loved ones, you know, before they die. So
my friend Stefan, like, he had no way to communicate them other than going to the window and trying to like,
yeah,
you know, give them baked goods and etc. So yeah,
you know, it was funny because at the beginning, like, where I live, it's right downtown in the city, and so like outside of my window there's skyscrapers and buildings, and just seeing people for the first 2 months of the pandemic, people were just sticking their heads out the window on the balcony and communicating to each other like that, and I'd see entire families come and like yell up to their grandparents on like the fourth floor. So yeah, that was cool. But I say they're 10 years behind everything when it comes to technology. So like Facebook is really big out there right now, like that sort of thing.
Which kind of gives you an edge, I assume.
Yeah.
What city is that where the skyscrapers
are? The capital city of Sofia. I pronounced it wrong for the first like 6 months I was there. And finally, as people drilled it into my head. So. You asked if I'm bilingual. The most difficult thing for me has been the pronunciation of the language, because there's a lot of these like guttural noises and like just noises that, you know, having grown up near a beach in California, I'm not used to just ever making those kinds of sounds. So.
Subtle.
Yeah.
As far as writing and everything, is it like Spanish, English, like there's cognates?
Yeah, I think that's the best example. Yeah, like Spanish and English, or, you know, maybe Spanish and Italian, like all those Slavic languages, like Russian, Serbian, Bulgarian, they all use the Cyrillic alphabet, and then they all come from the same base language. So if you know one, you can understand about 60 to 70% of another. So for instance, like when I was in the Balkans, just with a little bit of Bulgarian, I knew I could get around Serbia all right. If a Russian were to come to Bulgaria, they could understand and get around.
Spanish, yeah,
exactly.
You've been to the Balkans. Have you been to other places around there? Have you been like mostly cities?
Not as much as I would have liked to, because I mean, the Balkans, obviously I'm a little biased, but you know, it's one of my favorite places on earth. But I have traveled from Slovenia through Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia, Bulgaria, Greece. So a lot of those like former Yugoslavian nations.
Nice beaches.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful in Croatia. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is funny though, because one of my like takeaways from traveling around the Balkans is like, you know, the whole term Balkanization comes from that area, and just, you know, how much they like divided and really kind of keep to their own. And it's funny because they still hate each other so much. Like, just as like a quick story, when I was in Belgrade in Serbia, I was trying to take a bus back to Bulgaria. I had no idea at the time, this was in 2016, so I had no idea how much they still don't like each other. And I didn't have enough money, enough dinars to put my bag on the bottom of the bus. And luckily some Serbian guy was next to me, and he's like, oh, it's all right, like I'll pay for it. And he's like, but where are you from? It's like, oh, I'm American, which, you know, I will never do again. And he was like, oh, man, you really shouldn't have told me that. And I was like, oh, no, but it's okay. I'm half Bulgarian. And he's like, oh, my God. He's like, you really shouldn't have told me that. So, yeah, they still harbor a lot of animosity towards each other, which is interesting, you know.
But more the older generations or just everyone?
I think, yeah, it's a lot the older generations, although it definitely trickles down into the younger generations. Like, you can get a really good idea of how much they hate each other by going on, like, you know, like the Bulgarian corner of Instagram or Serbian corner of Instagram, and you just look at all these comments, and it's just all these kids, you know, they're probably 17 to 25, just posting vicious things about each other, you know, and they really have never been to each other's countries. But I don't think it's ever going to go away, and I'm not really sure that's a bad thing, you know.
It's a bit of human nature. It's like, yeah. YouTube comments.
Yeah, exactly.
Going back to your high school days here at Templeton High, what was that experience like, or what? How do you go from, especially Templeton?
Yeah.
No. And I went to school in SLO, right? And I lived here for a while. But I was like, oh, yeah, Templeton is kind of, it's its own little thing in this own little Central Coast world.
Right.
There's also Templeton, and Bulgaria is a whole different world in itself. Yeah. So what's the deal there?
So I got to visit Bulgaria in 2013 for the first time with my whole family. I'm lucky enough that my family took me traveling, I'd say more than the average person in America. So I was always kind of enamored with it and found it really fun. But I got to go to Bulgaria in 2013 for the first time. And my brother and I remember having a conversation with my older brother, who lives in Bulgaria now, where we both agreed that we wanted to live in Bulgaria at some point before we were 30, you know. And we had the opportunity, and we knew that we could get the citizenship. So it was always at the back of my mind.
You grew up with the culture, but it wasn't until then that you... So you already spoke some of the language, or like were kind of like, it was back in your mind, but also kind of in the back of your home life.
Absolutely. Yeah, and like having grown up with my father, who's Bulgarian, there was something familiar about going to Bulgaria for the first time, you know, whether it was like the smells of the food, which I was familiar with, or, you know, seeing certain books or, you know, people that I just... grown up around because of my father. So yeah, there's a familiarity that really hit home for me. So yeah, even going the first time, I kind of fell in love with the place and got to go again in 2016, doing a little bit of solo traveling around the Balkans and Bulgaria, and then went again in 2018, and then decided to move there in early 2019.
And you'll be back after.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about it. You tell me about
it. Absolutely. So again, it was a publication that my dad founded and led. Actually, it's funny, the way that it started was my dad was making a bid to be in the European Parliament, and they stopped him because in Bulgaria, you know, he was an outspoken guy and, you know, had a lot of sway. People really respected what he said. So, you know, the powers that be kind of put a nix on his campaign. But
it's a bit hereditary, because you were saying that was... It was the grandfather who was your grandfather who's the man of the people, also an artist of sorts, and then, so it's in your blood.
Oh, there's dissidency in my blood for sure. Yeah, so he was making a bid to join the European Parliament and would have won. He was, you know, really popular, but, you know, they, again, the powers that be came in and nixed it. But they had this platform, and they had all these people, you know, whether it was, you know, on the Facebook page for the campaign or this website that was about getting him elected, they had thousands and thousands of people following it. So they figured, like, why let that go to waste? So they turned it into a sort of like a geopolitical news publication. And I have always enjoyed writing, and at times have flirted with the idea of getting into politics. So when I went out there, it was a good or a natural thing for me to join up and start working for Bulgaria Analytica as well.
So what do you do there?
I was doing research, like various analysis. I wrote probably 10 articles, and then just kind of jack of all trades, I guess, whatever they needed me to do, including go to all these conferences all around Europe and just be the smiling face of Bulgaria who doesn't speak Bulgarian. So but it was a good experience.
What did your dad do?
this is one reason why they admired him so much in Bulgaria, is he escaped communism, but never fell out of love with the country. So, I mean, literally as soon as he possibly could, he went back to Bulgaria and served as the advisor for the first democratically elected prime minister. And again, like that, right after the wall fell, it was his first opportunity to go back, and he took it. And since then, he always kept one foot in the door in Bulgaria and always wanted to help make it a better place, you know. So he served as an advisor for the prime minister. And from then on out, you know, he always had a say in what was going on in Bulgaria, you know, or always had things to say, rather. In fact, he told me, he had me meet the current prime minister of Bulgaria. And the prime minister looked at me, the guy, you know, barely even speaks English, and he said, your dad is my biggest critic. So, yeah, he was always outspoken there.
And you're kind of carrying that torch on. So are you still involved with Bulgaria Analytica, have you thought of ways of also bringing that to, it's in its own little world, but I think people are starting to realize more other countries exist. Internet one thing, but also I think there's kind of this growing interest. Well, also everyone's dying to travel and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Baldwin Bankrupt. Like,
I love that guy. Yeah,
he's like also kind of introducing people to all these like, not just like countries that obviously exist, Belarus or whatever, but like all the small, all the nuances to it, all the smaller cultures and everything. And Bulgaria's like. Like a bigger deal than most of those places, but a lot of people I know wouldn't think of it, know anything. So I don't know. I would be interested in that being more in this world.
Right now, unfortunately, Bulgaria Analytica. You know, my dad was he was the reason that we got all of our funding. You know, he had the resume to support it. So after he passed, like it's been a little bit harder to get funding. So Bulgaria Analytica is in a bit of a limbo right now. Mm-hmm. And I actually have discussions with people who are still somewhat involved about what direction to take it. And that is, I think there's definitely room there for us to try something. You know, I think. I totally agree that a lot of Americans think about traveling and they think about, you know, Western Europe or Mexico, you know, which are great places. Don't get me wrong, but it's just such a big world and there's so much else to see that I think it's important to kind of shine a light on, like you said, like Eastern European countries or wherever it may be.
I mean, for you, it's a home, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's some. I don't know. People see it as very unapproachable. Like, oh, what? That's near Russia.
Yeah.
And Russia's Russia. So
right. Right.
But even like you know, it's a huge chunk of the world that people are just ruling out.
Absolutely.
And I've had some Bulgarian food, and I would say it's well worth it just for that.
Absolutely.
You know? But is that what you're planning on returning to? I mean, I know that's going to be like you have to pick it back up, and every media form right now like is obviously hurting. But you're going to return back no matter what. Is that what you're thinking, business wise, or like what do you want to?
I think so. I think it would be a shame, and more than a shame, I would actually feel guilty about it, kind of let it fizzle out and die. So it's just a matter of adjusting to this new climate, you know, and kind of figuring out a new direction to take it. But there absolutely is, I mean, speaking of a direction to take it, my father and I had a conversation about that very thing, kind of attracting younger people to come visit Bulgaria, because Bulgaria, as the poorest country in the European Union, it allows the Bulgarian kids, you know, to live anywhere they want in Europe. So because it's so poor, you know, they turn 18 and they get out of there. So like that's another reason why the population is so old. Not just like the fact that they do actually have a long lifespan there and eat well because of that Bulgarian food. It's so naturally all of their gardens and everything. I mean, the kids just leave because there's just better opportunities elsewhere. And it's a huge problem now. I can only imagine how big of a problem it's going to be in 10 years. So we had conversations about finding ways to get Bulgarians back in Bulgaria. That's something that people appreciated about me and my brother being there. Is there's the young people want to leave and we wanted to go there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, I'm sure after just like festivals, like kind of you can do some.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like tourism economic initiatives, but I'm sure with like my friend who's there is a music producer and he's like all about that. Like, what's it called? Kiev, like Ukrainian music scene, Romanian music scene. Like, there's like all these places that like you wouldn't, aren't, whatever, Berlin.
Yeah.
But there's still the youth culture that is like, it's so niche, but like could potential for something big. For
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. I think kids who stayed there are so in love with the culture and in love with the country, which I find really honorable. So they all these cool little like niche, like music scenes and clubs and that sort of thing are abundant there if you know where to look.
So if you're there, you're there. It's like either they get up and go, they turn 18 and dip or they're like,
this
you
is
know,
it, yeah. I'm sticking it out, yeah, for pride. I definitely consider myself Californian because all my formative years were here. That being said, it's nice to not have been born here, I will say.
Ouch, but, like, I understand. but also Bulgarian.
Yeah.
And that's your other home. So how do the two compare? Yeah, I mean, obviously you're saying people are big on Facebook and et cetera, and there's some like tech lag there, but also cultural, I'm sure, you know, California, despite being so warm, you know, there is a little bit of coldness even, you know, comparatively.
It's interesting that you say that because that was my biggest takeaway after being there. I mean, even when I was just traveling there before I actually lived there, Eastern Europe, and especially like Slavic people in Eastern Europe, have a reputation of being very like cold and kind of like, you know, mean. And here in California, people have a reputation of being, you know, very warm and open and nice. And I think those things are true outwardly. I think that Bulgarians do have like an outward coldness, like people in like, you know, on the West Coast or maybe most American places, but especially California, have a reputation of being very, you know, warm outwardly. But it's the inward reverse. Like in Bulgaria, they are kind of outwardly cold, but there's, once you get to know them and become friends with people, they are the warmest, most loyal, like kindest people. Whereas here in California, I think that, you know, you get to know people. It's almost, I don't want to say fake, but people are very warm outwardly.
I was trying to think of a different way to say it too, but yeah. It's like the pleasantries and right. whatever, but no one's going to welcome you into their home right off the bat, maybe in yeah. the same way.
And really go the mile for you, you know, and there's not as much loyalty. So it is really interesting how here that we do have that reputation of being so warm. And the pleasantries thing is very interesting because I had a Bulgarian friend who told me that a lot of the like filler small talk conversation phrases that we have here, they don't understand in Bulgaria because, you know, certain things, I mean, one isn't coming to mind right away, but there's certain things we say here just to kind of fill dead air in yeah. conversations. They just don't have that in Bulgaria. Like, and I'm sure other places too, but in my experience in Bulgaria, if they don't have a reason to be saying something, they're not going to say it, you know?
That's true for Sweden, a couple other places. Germany is, certain parts of Germany is like, what's the point of small talk?
Yeah.
Like, weather, good weather today. What? Like,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Exactly.
Let's, but at the same time, it's because there's no small talk, but then it's like, hey, how's your family doing?
How, right.
You know, like straight to it or like, you know, some intermediary there. Yeah. But yeah, it's a weird thing.
Which I think is very indicative of, you know, like the culture between the people.
Yeah. You would think no small talk means harshness, but it's a cultural difference, but also just, let's talk about the real stuff. Like, yeah, that's kind of fake.
I think a lot of it just comes from their centuries and centuries of like suffering. You know, here we've had it pretty good, you know, in
yeah.
America.
Especially California.
Yeah, California, exactly. Yeah. I mean, these centuries and entire history of countries just suffering, they've kind of decided to cut the roster on all the niceties and pleasantries.
They don't have time for that.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But a little bit contrary to the idea of people warmth and welcoming and trusting, and you're saying loyalty, because that sounds like, oh, you can't even trust your neighbors. So how did that change?
You know, it's interesting. Well, I guess it hasn't completely changed. I mean, the older generations there, you can see it in their faces. They see me and my brother and they can tell we're foreigners and they don't really like it and they don't want anything to do with us. Not all of them, but the ones that are, you know, dyed in the wool. Not ex-communists, but people who lived under that for so long. You know, the younger generations who never lived under communism, again, like it trickles down from their parents, so they have a little bit of it, but they're a bit more open and not as worried about, you know, like trusting random people and that sort of thing. So then it kind of is like the reverse effect where it trickles down and then it kind of spreads into the older generations as well.
I don't want to give Baldwin Bankrupt too much credit, but just thinking about the places he's been and how it's opposite, or like I've been to Estonia, for example, and it's a more recent thing and they kind of Tallinn went into its own, but anywhere outside the city and a lot of places over there post-Soviet or just post-war time, like lost a lot of resources, things are like, so I'm wondering if those older generations are like, they're remiss for a time in the past, but it seems like Bulgaria compared to other neighboring countries, especially, there's less of a, oh, I wish things could go back. Or do you think that's,
you know, I think there's, for the most part, people are happy with the way things are now. Maybe not happy, but content with the way things are now. But there absolutely is a fraction of people, you know, think life was better under communism. We're so stuck in their ways, they just want to go back to that. All these crazy places where you do find those small groups of people that, you know, seem like unicorns to us, but they really believe that, you know, life was better when they were
and
waiting.
It's fair.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It was,
yeah.
Okay, like, they had the industry and everything, like, basically schools
right.
and everything shut down because of
it. Yeah.
My friend said that there's coffee dispensers on every corner.
Like, there is.
Little coffee machine, or is that, he's like, because he's a, you know, coffee nut, and he's like, I'll FaceTime you next time and I'll show you the whole process. They're not that, it's not very good, but they're on every corner.
Oh, yeah.
They're like a little,
everywhere. Yeah. And these people, like, I have a buddy who drinks like like 9 to 12 espresso shots a day. Like, we'll just be walking around and he just can't help. He just grew up, you know, every and single dispensary he sees and it's there. Yeah. Yeah. They drink espresso like maniacs out there, which.
Are there other prominent things like that? Maybe like reverse culture shock you got when you got back here. You're like, oh no, like, okay, you weren't missing your coffee because not your thing yet. But is there other, I mean, besides good cooking or maybe.
It's sad that this is one of the first things that comes to mind, but they just don't really have beef over there. It was just never part of their culture. So they eat a lot of pork, a lot of lamb.
So came
chicken
here and went right to In-N-Out.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yes. No, I really did. That's for every time I come back, I go right to In-N-Out. But yeah, so like having like a nice steak and like as much as I hate to say it, you know, the beef is like a huge part of my life. Having grown up, you know, in Templeton, California, so that's something that I miss a lot. But they make up for it with how good the cuisine is there. You know, they have that very like classical Mediterranean, like Balkan food style where they all, every country you go to, they claim that they invented it, but it's exactly the same dish. So, you know, I'm able to satisfy my cravings for beef, amazing tomato or something like
yeah,
that.
You know? Yeah, yeah. You know. I mean, Central Coast compared to the Bay, honestly, I've been over here, like down here for the weekend. I'm like, oh yeah, like just being closer to farms.
Yeah.
Good. When you're there, you're lacking beef, but when you're here, what are you lacking? What do you miss most right now?
The people and the culture, like they're. And admittedly, I'm lucky in that I do have a connection through my father and my grandfather, and there's like a huge network of people there that just want to help us and treat us well. But, you know, everyone's just so much more connected to reality there, I think, you know, like having lived under communism and having all those, you know, horrible things happen to them, and they appreciate life a little bit more, and you can really feel it. So, I mean, the people there are just the greatest people in the world, you know, not to say that I don't have just as good of friends here and know people just as good here as I do there. But, and then outside of that, the rakia, which is their sort of national drink of choice.
Is that potato based?
So it's kind of like brandy. They make it out of like grapes and it's technically illegal to make yourself, but every single person has like a distillery on their balcony, you know? So it's rocket fuel, you know, it's dangerous stuff. Oh, do we have some? Oh, all right. Well,
rakia, how do you,
Rakia. Yeah.
I mean, that's a nice bottle.
And you know, as crazy as it sounds, I miss the architecture too. Like they do, it is that brutalist style of architecture, which was designed to keep people down and keep them depressed. But to me, it's just so fascinating. It's so different from anything I ever grew up seeing here in Templeton.
It's more, you said brutalist, so it's more like modernist, like frilly.
Yeah. So yeah, it, you know, it's just like these disgusting old ugly buildings that, you know, nobody in their right mind would ever like. I'm so fascinated by it that I love them, you know.
Lots of grays, like,
yeah,
I see a lot.
Dark gray, like bleary again, like it was designed to make people hate it, but it's so fascinating to me that I can't help but kind of be in awe in it.
And there isn't like I mean, I'm sure it's a budget thing, but not a whole bunch of like renovation, like people aren't trying to like get some color in there,
you know. People, you know, there is flags everywhere and people do, you know, the little bit that they can to add color, but you know, people are really poor over there and the government is really corrupt. So, you know, unless somebody has a lot of money and an investment from somewhere else, there isn't like a ton that people can do other than throw flags up and have their tomato plants and, you know, all the little things that are within reason. But, you know, there is neighborhoods that, you know, would look more like a Western European neighborhood, but those are owned by the mafia and, you know, the government and that sort of thing.
And I was thinking more countryside, but you were saying skyscrapers downtown.
I mean, it's such a big country, you know, relative to the countries around it in Eastern Europe that there's a lot that I still have to see. But, you know, I've seen a good amount. I've been to the second and third biggest cities. I've been to the seaside. I've been to, you know, remote little villages out in the mountains. And I mean, the villages can tend to be a little bit run down just because there's no opportunity. There's not a ton of opportunity in the cities. So in the villages, there's even less, you know, so people tend to, especially the kids, always move to the cities. You know, they don't really have a choice. So the villages, yeah, can tend to be a little run down, but I mean, that's an experience in itself, going to some village where they haven't seen a foreigner ever. But then you get to a place like the seaside where all like the Russian and Chinese money is. And it looks like a resort seaside anywhere that you'd see in the world, you know? So it does have that disparity. That's the Black Sea coast, which is the only coastline that Bulgaria has.
And what else does Bulgaria border?
To the north, there is the Danube River, which provides a perfect border with Romania. To the west, they have a border with Serbia. And then to the south, they have a border with Greece and Macedonia, North Macedonia.
And there's some animosity between Bulgarians and Serbians, but is it also Romanians and Bulgarians?
You know, Bulgarians and Romanians, actually, as far as Balkan countries go, they are pretty tight just because, you know, they always needed Romania to, you know, when they were controlled by the Ottomans, like Romania was the way for the Russians to get in to help them. And just, I mean, dating back, it's such a rich history that I don't want to offend anybody by even trying to explain it. But as far as things go, Romanians and Bulgarians have always been pretty tight-knit. Yeah, the Serbians, we've just been to war with too many times. So, yeah.
And then what else was that? Greece?
Yeah,
just Greece. Whatever, everyone's on the beach. Like,
yeah, and also the Greeks and the Bulgarians share a lot of the same heritage, at least in that part of Greece, like because that used to be Bulgaria once upon a time. Like, those borders have changed so much. There was a time when Bulgaria had three different seas that it was touching. And so, yeah, the Greeks and Bulgarians get along, and, you know, Bulgarians go through Greece and have pretty much, you know, taken over certain cities in Greece, like in northern Greece that are close to the border. So the Greeks, you know, they're Greeks, so, but we get along with them pretty well. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the Greeks are the Greeks, but also the Bulgarians are the Greeks and vice versa.
Yeah, but we're also Greeks. And then North Macedonia, that's actually a complicated one because there's a lot of people in Bulgaria, and I don't really want to take a side on this because I don't know enough, but a lot of people say that, you know, North Macedonia is a fake country, that, and the Macedonian language is just Bulgarian with a few, like, very minor, like, dialectic things. So, I mean, it is kind of a mirror image of that language. And then a lot of Bulgarians who just kind of think that North Macedonia isn't a real country and it's Bulgarian by origin. Which is interesting because I have family far back enough that actually come from a town in North Macedonia that used to be Bulgaria, you know. So there's some validity to those claims, but I won't take too strong of an opinion.
Okay, wise. I'm your host, Randy Hare, reporting from Templeton, visiting here with Eric Alexiev. Thank you, Eric. Where can people learn more about you, about Bulgaria Analytica?
Going to bulgarianalytica.org or just typing Bulgaria Analytica into Google. You can learn about my dad and find some cool articles.
Your dad's name?
Alex Alexiev. And find some things, you know, about family history that I was talking about, and then just things about Bulgaria. And then maybe some things about me if you're interested. My Instagram handle, I don't know what it is. I change it a lot, to be honest, because I'm worried about the Russians. but if you can find my email on Bulgarian Analytica and reach out to me there if you'd.
Thanks again, Eric.
Thank you.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing elephant sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives. And Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.